It's the Mike Tech Show, show number 644. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the podcast. I'm your host, Mike Smith. Thank you very much for downloading and subscribing to the show. Please visit the main website at miketechshow.com. You can email me questions and suggestions for show topics at miketechshow@gmail.com. You can leave me a voicemail message on Skype. My name is Mike Tech Show, all one word. Follow me on Twitter, twitter.com/miketechshow, and also facebook.com/Mike Tech Show. This show is brought to you by Instant House Call. Remotely support your customers unattended and on demand through firewalls. Try it free by clicking the link on my website at miketechshow.com, or just go directly to instanthousecall.com. Download your free 15-day trial and remember to use the promo code Mike Tech Show.
Who let the dogs out? Who let the dogs out? Who let the dogs out? Who let the dogs out?
That is for my Philadelphia Eagles, who are the big, big underdog in the Super Bowl this Sunday. I proudly wear my Super Bowl Eagles underdog shirt as I record this tonight. We wish the Eagles good luck on Sunday. Philadelphia, we're really getting behind being the underdog and actually enjoying it. So I had to do that. So now, big announcement, the Unconvention 2018.
This is my kind of town. Chicago is my kind of town. Chicago is.
That's right. August 24th through the 26th, Unconvention 2018. And I am excited to announce the keynote. We have so much great talent that we are lining up for the sessions this year. This is a must attend. It is bigger, better, even more help for your business. The keynote on Saturday is Mike Michalowicz, the author of The Pumpkin Plan. And he's just not going to lecture us about his book. It's going to be a workshop where he will help us with our business. And anybody who knows The Pumpkin Plan, and it's a great book, and I believe if you are a business owner, it is required reading. And to have him, I am very excited to be able to meet him. And that's just one announcement. There are many more. The venue, the events for Saturday night, it is a must attend. If you go to unconvention.io, you can put your name and address to be notified when the early bird tickets come out, because you're going to want to get them as fast as possible. We have more sponsors, the venue, it's all first class. You're going to love it. And I'm excited to be part of it. I can't wait. And that's August 24th to the 26th in Chicago. I hope to see you there. And as things develop and more things get locked in, I will be sharing more and more. Just a quick mention of the Malwarebytes incident on Saturday. I believe I covered everything that I wanted to say in the last Tech Vets show 142 with Carrie Holzman, recorded on Tuesday night. Go over to tech-vets.com and you can download or just listen online. It's almost 2 hours of us covering everything about the incident. I want to thank everybody who's reached out to me and has been sending me links, especially Neil and Dave. And there's so many of you who've sent me information about the problems. We've got two really, really good links if you're a home user or if you're a corporate user over at tech-vets.com that if you're still experiencing or your client is experiencing problems, the instructions are there. The rest of the show, I'm going to talk about some stories in the trenches, and then I'm going to read some emails and we'll wrap up. First, a big issue I started running into, and again, this is post-fall creators update for Windows 10. We have a Lexmark multifunction machine in one of my best clients' offices. And all of a sudden, as we were rolling out the latest Windows 10 on two systems, we no longer could scan back to network folders on their desktop. The permissions were set right. Firewall turned off. It didn't matter. As a matter of fact, everything I did, I felt vindicated when I worked with the vendor and he remoted in and couldn't figure it out. We could not get an SMB connection back from scanning to a folder on these desktops. Now we could back to a peer server, which is Windows 10, which doesn't make any sense. It's the same version. And there it worked. Very odd. So here's what the tech worked with me in setting up. Since SMB wouldn't work, we activated FTP. Now, I've never activated FTP on a Windows 10 machine, and it's not very much different than Windows 7, but the first thing you have to do to set up an FTP server on your workstation, you go to Programs and Features, click Turn Windows Features On and Off. And this is where you get those advanced features that aren't installed for Windows by default. And when that opens up, you got to scroll down to Internet Information Services. So you got to get IIS running. Now, under there, there's FTP server. Make sure everything there is checked. And also make sure Web Management Tools, everything is checked. Click next, next, it'll go through and it'll add those services. Launch IIS as an administrator and then work through adding an FTP site. When you go to your default sites, you want to add an FTP site, and that's where you got to put in your IP address. Your IP address now has to be a static IP address because that's where you're going to configure the copier to FTP back. So we set that up. Then we go into the control panel and the management web interface of the copier, select FTP now instead of SMB, and it worked flawlessly. Did a test, the scan, it went right to the folder where we wanted it. I don't understand why the SMB wouldn't work. I still got to do some more research and figure out what's going on, but I needed to get past that quickly, get this resolved. And the way to do it was FTP. So I wanted to share that because that's another option to kind of keep in our pocket. You can roll out. It's not that difficult to get it set up and running. So same client, Thursday night last week, why I didn't record a show. The CEO of the company, I was cloning and upgrading an SSD, a Samsung 500 gig solid state drive, and installing Windows 10 because he was Windows 7 Pro. And I installed Windows 10 from scratch, activated, and now I had to use FABS Auto Backup 6 Pro in getting that all transferred, all of his settings and OSTs and signatures. I had to get that all working. I didn't get home till after 7:30 last week, so there was no way I would be able to record the show. Hope you don't mind. That's why I just could not record last week, because one of the things, it's interesting, the pumpkin plan stresses you under promise and over deliver. And that's exactly what I did for my client last Thursday, was over delivering in support and making everything work. When I left, there were no calls afterwards for anything missing from the setup of his desktop. He was extremely happy. And we want to make our best clients happy. You do everything possible. One of the things you have to do is identify who are your best clients. And then anything you do, that gets priority. And you got to make sure everybody working for you or reporting to you or supporting that, that is the focus. And my team understands who our important clients are, and we drop what we're doing and take care of them. I had good reason to cancel last Thursday. Now, I want to share an annoying error that has been happening for a couple clients who have Windows 2010, Fall Creators Update, of course, but they also have Office 2007. Now, one of the problems I talked about in the past was repair Office 2007. Well, there's still a lingering annoyance with Excel 2007. I have two clients that every time they launch Excel, they get the STDOLE32.tib error. And a little box pops up. You click OK and it, you can continue, but it's an annoyance. Now, I have a link that I'm going to put in the show notes tonight that gave five different things. One of them was this whole series of registry entries. I performed every single one of them, and it didn't fix this error for two different clients. So if anybody knows a fix that's not part of any of those solutions that's on the page that I'm going to reference, I would like to know. Now, really, what I've done with both of these clients is escalated to their bosses, would you approve going to the new version of Office? And that would fix the problem. But if the budget's not there, they're just going to have to live with the annoyance. Finding lots of really old systems are now starting to come end of life and crash, never to be booted again. And it's just not worth fixing. I still have a strong refurbished market for my Optiplexes that I can get. I'm getting the 790s, the 990s, putting a solid state drive, putting Windows 10 Pro fresh. It's got 8 gigs of RAM and Core i5, and they have been performing really, really well. Yesterday, my son finished installing one. Today, he was doing another one with a client. If you're not doing that, this is another way to generate revenue for your business. Consider getting a reliable source for refurbished machines. Now, they always come with a mechanical drive that keeps the price down. Well, take that out, put the solid state drive, and if it has a valid Windows 7 key on it, which they all do, guess what? You can activate Windows 10 with it still on a fresh install, piece of cake. And they have been working really good, and it's just another part of the business that's been really helping. It helps with the budget for my clients because it keeps their costs down. So it's half the price of a brand new Optiplex. They're happy with the performance. So to continue with follow-up on the printer that I had with no DHCP, yet I had to get it configured and there was no panel, here are two follow-ups that I want to mention. This is from Fred. Mike, you had a recent situation where there was no DHCP at a site, and you had to go through some gymnastics to deal with a printer that defaults to DHCP after a reset. I personally love OpenDHCP server. It is super easy and portable DHCP server, and you can pre-configure and just copy a folder to any computer and launch with a shortcut. Simple text file anyconfig allows you to adjust configuration as needed. I have even replaced my MSDHCP and my home router DHCP with this running on a Windows PC. It is super stable and rivals Microsoft DHCP in features if you really want to dig in. Maybe a nice portable solution for techs. Love your show. Longtime listener. Cheers. And Fred is from, actually from the area here, Lancaster, PA, not far away. Fred, great idea. Thank you. This one is really clever, and I'm ashamed that I didn't think of this. This is from Pete, whose title is Shame on Me. Couple of weeks ago, you had an issue about a printer that could not get an IP address because there was no DHCP. because of that show, I did some research and landed by accident on a link below. But I put off sharing this information, shame on me. But then it happened. I had to do the same thing. A P2035N, no DHCP server, no display, no sweat. I got this. The solution is so simple. You change it by using the HP JetDirect embedded web server. Wait for it, Mike. Hear me out. What you need to do is print out the configuration page. It might have a manual IP address already assigned. If not, the printer will assign a local address like 169.254, which is exactly what was happening. I found it best to reset the printer to factory settings and reprint the configuration page and get the IP address. Then the magic happens. Use a route add command from the command prompt to add the IP address of the HP JetDirect to the route table of the computer. The default IP address of an HP JetDirect will usually be either 169.254. For example, if the HP JetDirect default is 169.254.164.70 and the computer IP address is 192.168.0.107, the route add command would be /route /add/ the 169 IP address, a space, and then the other IP address. Now you can open a browser, go to that page that's being the web page that's being delivered by the printer, and you can change the IP address for its final permanent IP address. And he has a link below. Pete, that is the simple, elegant solution that I did not think of. I wanted to share that. That is one of those things that you want to keep in your tool bag as a way to get to an IP address that's not on the same segment or same subnet as you. Route add command. This is from David. Keep talking about printers. Love the podcast. I've been listening for years and have learned so much and solved many problems with your advice. Here is one I'm struggling with. I have a client with an HP PC running Windows 10. She has an HP 5660 printer. She bought both at the same time and for about 6 months had no problems. Now the printer is no longer recognized by the PC. I have uninstalled and reinstalled the printer software several times, both from the original disks and also by downloading the drivers from the HP website. Still nothing. The printer icon is shown in the devices and printer section, but is grayed out and so can't be set as the default printer. I spent 3 hours working on it recently. I am at a loss, wondering if you or your listeners have an idea on how to resolve this issue. The only thing I can think of now is that Windows Update may have broken something and I can't fix it. Thank you. Dave, I think I have your answer. I had the very same issue. Download the HP Universal Driver. Make sure that the printer has a static IP address and then point the driver to that IP address. It works. I had not this model, but I had the exact same problem. Definitely check that out. Use the HP Universal Driver. If anybody else has ideas, let me know. And Dave, keep me updated. Let me know if that solved it. Great link by Mike Cooley, Taz Cools in the chat, our moderator. The link is to Steve Gibson's program called InSpectra. This is a teeny program that lets you know if you are impacted by the Meltdown or Spectra problems with the processors and the BIOS that needs to be updated. It's interesting because he has two buttons that if you are protected, it slows your system down and you can disable Meltdown protection or disable Spectra protection. I'm protected by Meltdown, but I'm not protected by Spectra. according to my system. And if I disable the meltdown protection, I'm going to gain speed because for performance, it said slow, not good. I mean, ultimately, you want to be protected by both and performance good, but that's going to take a much newer processor than the one I have. Take a look at that. See if you're impacted by those two vulnerabilities. And Taz, thank you so much for that link. I hadn't been following Steve Gibson, and it's great to know he is the master of very small, excellently coded, because he codes in assembly, just great little utilities. This is from Nancy Jones. She had an issue with Windows 7 updates, and when she renamed the Windows software distribution folder, it resolved it. Now, typically, with that problem with Windows 7 updates, one of the first things you do is stop the Windows Update service, delete the contents, which is the same thing as renaming that, delete the contents of that folder, then go back, start the Windows Update, and then check for updates. That used to be the go-to fix, but I've had varying, you know, where it didn't work all the time. That issue was a problem, and that didn't fix it. And then I found those 8 hot fixes that you have to apply in order to get Windows 7 updates working. And then all of a sudden, by magic, Windows 7 updates started working. It's been very sporadic, but that's definitely something that you can try. This is Curtis. Hi, Mike. I am in need of an SSL cert to install on a server running IIS that is going to host a web application. Do you have a suggestion of where to purchase the cert? In the past, I have not had great experience with GoDaddy, so I am more looking for an alternative. This is from my son, Ryan, who recommends Namecheap, and I'll have a link to that in the show notes. I don't know why you're having trouble with GoDaddy, because I've always used GoDaddy for certs, and they're very good at great help in getting it activated in terms of their information from the website. When you buy the cert, if you're looking for price, inexpensive, Namecheap. This is from Larry, and this is a long email. First, he apologizes for the length of the message. It's just the way I write. If you want to use any of this on the podcast, please feel free to paraphrase any or all of it, or ignore the whole thing. No. I'm not in the business of computer repair or IT consulting. I've been around Windows DOS PCs since about the mid-80s as more of a hobbyist and family consultant. I've only had one Apple computer, and that's an Apple II Plus that I still have in working condition with a staggering 48K of RAM. Wow. Now that's worth money probably now. I listened to your last podcast regarding Windows 10 upgrade issues with Microsoft's latest and greatest build. Admittedly, I've been using an older Sony Vaio laptop, which has been serving my needs quite nicely after replacing the hard drive with a solid-state drive. It has been performing well enough for what I ask from it and a lot better than it had with the older drive. All that ended when Microsoft downloaded and installed the Fall Creators update overnight recently. When it was done, the laptop was practically bricked. I couldn't access the start menu or anything on the taskbar. When I opened the device manager, it displayed a ton of yellow triangles. It had disabled both the wired and wireless adapters. Without access to the start menu, I couldn't access settings to see what was going on in the system or to roll back to the previous Windows 10 version. In my case, that was build 1607. The right context menu was accessible on the start menu, but it was very limited in what was available or what would actually work. Lots of left clicks to nowhere. I'm going to pause and interject. One of the things I discussed in a previous show was how to get into repair options of Windows 10. You almost have to, four times, you have to, right when the Windows logo starts, you got to turn it off. And when you turn it off three times, the fourth time it goes into a repair scenario where you can then pick go rolling back to the system restore point right before that update applied. There are things you could have done, but you would have had to go use another computer. And I'll tell you, a lot of people, with if you don't have the experience, that's not easy to go through what I just said. Now, he continues, after trying various suggestions I found on websites using my desktop machine to remedy the start menu issue, nothing worked. And I resolved to reformat the laptop and reinstall Windows from scratch. The first thing I did was to download the Creator's Update and do a fresh install, thinking that something in the previous update process might have gone south and hammered the system. When it was all done and rebooted, the result was the same as I described previously. No start menu access, no taskbar access, no adapters, etc. I was lucky to find a website that offered ISO files of older builds of Windows 10 and successfully installed build 1607, mounted the ISO, and ran setup. Funny thing, when it rebooted, everything worked beautifully, just like it had before the Creator's Update disaster. Here is the website if you want to check it out. Very helpful. Beyond that, I wondered if anyone had found a way to stop or at least control the forced updates from Microsoft. I did a search and turned up these sites. And he has three different sites here, which I will put into the show notes. Now, do these work? I've tried the registry hack to see if I can control when things get downloaded and when things get installed. Needless to say, the jury is still out. But since I've turned my old laptop into a lab experiment, time will tell. See, you're becoming an IT guy. Time will tell if these procedures work. It could be a boon to techs like you who want to have some control over your client's OS updates. Sorry about the length of this. Never apologize for length. Don't worry. I wanted to let you know what I found and to get your reaction. Keep on keeping it on. This is Larry from Illinois. P.S. Activation on a reinstallation of Windows 10 Pro was a no-brainer since the OS is married to the hardware. That's correct. If activated by itself, I didn't even have to enter a product key. And you are absolutely correct with that. So here's what I might have done. It sounds like you didn't have any drivers. Now, other than the start menu issue, not having the drivers, did you have internet access? And you didn't have your wired driver. So I might have tried the following. And if this happens again, if you're stuck where you can't stop the update and the update happens, get the chipset, the manufacturer of the NIC card, go to another machine and download it. Maybe even download that now. Have the latest driver available via USB and put that in and see if you can get on the internet. Then there's lots of driver update programs. I like Driver Max, and there's a bunch of others, and there's some good free ones. And then let that run. Once you get network access and access to the internet, see if all the drivers being updated might have some impact to where you're now getting working, and now all you got to do is really just solve the Windows start menu problem. Now, here's what I like to do. Create another administrator account if you can. And you can always Google how to do that from a command line. Is there a problem with your profile? But since you didn't have the start menu again on a fresh install of the Creator's Update, I'm worried about some of the compatibility and some of the things that's happened. I will say this. Nothing will ever surprise me that the fall Creator's Update has broken. I can't be alarmed or surprised anymore. I've seen so much horrible fallout from that update. The way Windows 10 is set up and designed, we have to keep moving forward or we're not going to get the security updates. We're not going to get the fixes. We're not going to get, you can't remain. As a matter of fact, it's like a big ball coming down the hill. You can't stop it. You can't get out of the way. The updates are coming. No matter what you do, I have not found a way to successfully stop and halt all Windows updates. We can stop hardware drivers. That I have successfully done and have covered in some past shows. I don't know even shutting off the service doesn't stop the Windows 10 update from coming. It's going to happen. And unfortunately, Larry, I think you're going to be trying to solve the update when it finally comes again, and then you can fix it. I have another solution. If you can't get past that, maybe go back to Windows 7 and that system stays Windows 7. I hate to do that, but you may have to. There's some kind of a motherboard or hardware conflict. Something else, this is kind of radical since it's a laptop and since it's sort of your test bed here for this. Go into the BIOS and set it back to the factory default and see what happens there when you hit this, if you hit this issue again. I'd like to see your BIOS just go back to factory defaults and then see what happens. Does that help you? Do things get better? That is it for tonight's show. I want to thank everybody for downloading and staying subscribed. Please support Instant House Call at instanthousecall.com. Fabs Auto Backup 6 Pro. I love it. And this week, we've used it every day. And it has saved us so many times in transferring settings and files from one system to another, or from an external drive to a new system. Bryce's Computer Business Kit version 3. I'll have a link to that. That's like required for any new IT business or consulting business. I thank Matt for the website that hosts, and he's designed mhsconsulting.net. That is techsitebuilder.com. That's where you go to have your tech site not only designed, but hosted. I want to thank everybody again. Go Eagles, and I will see you back here next week. Same time, same channel. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to The Mike Tech Show, a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. Please visit techpodcast.com.